If you have your Bible this morning, we're turning to John chapter 1 and beginning to read together at verse 19 of the chapter. John chapter 1 and verse 19 of the chapter, please. Verse 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" He saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Betharaba beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And we'll end there at verse 37, and we know that God will add his blessing to his word this morning. Down through the years, I'm sure for all of us, we have heard and we have read of many of the great and famous soul winners. We could name many of them this morning, couldn't we? Moody, Nicholson, Wesley, so many that we could think of this morning that have been influential and been used of God as they have served the Lord and as have been faithful in witnessing for God as soul winners. Some of those men have seen their country turned upside down for the glory of God. And folks, how we need to see a move of God today in our country, in our province. How we need to see men and women raised up, men and women of God raised up under God as they reach out with the word of God to individuals to see men and women coming to know Christ as their personal savior. We need God to move in our society today, a society of lawlessness, a society that have turned their back on God. And again, all we do is turn on our television and we can see much of that today as the laws of God are broken around us. But here we see this morning a pioneer soul winner, the one who prepared the way for the Lord as we read of him here. His life and his witness, John the Baptist's life and witness, also prepares us and challenges us for the work that God has called all of us to, if we're believers this morning, in reaching out to others with the good news of the gospel. And a life that was effective for God. How we need our lives to be effective for God today. John the Baptist's period of service was very short. It was just 6 months, but yet it was effective, wasn't it? He was a unique character. He was rugged. He was severe. He was humble. He was clothed in camel skin. He ate locusts and wild honey. Certainly John the Baptist was a unique character. He stood out from the crowd, didn't he? He was peculiar as people looked at him. Well, the Bible says that we are, as a people of God, a peculiar people. Now, some are more peculiar than others, aren't they? But we're certainly a peculiar people, and a people who should stand out for God in their life and their witness and their living. A people that, as people look at us, should see something different in our lives. What do people see as they look at us today? John the Baptist was the child of godly parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was given a name that derived from the Hebrew means Jehovah is gracious. He was born to aged Jewish parents, as I've said already. Elizabeth was, of course, related to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. And this devout couple, they tell us, lived in the hill country of Judea, perhaps Hebron, a priestly city of the region. This couple were a godly couple. His birth was supernormal. We read this in Luke chapter 1. He was spirit-filled, again in Luke 1. He was a forerunner of the Lord, and we could take time to go into all of these this morning, which we're not going to take time for because time is running away on us. And of course, we find out that he was finally beheaded because of his unflinching loyalty to the Lord. In Mark chapter 6, we read of that. But I just want to leave a few points with you this morning as we think here of John the Baptist and his life and his witness for the Lord in this short ministry that he had. We see, first of all, that John the Baptist obeyed a divine commission. He obeyed a divine commission. In verse 33, we read together that he says about, "He that sent me." John the Baptist was sent to do the work of preparing the way for the Lord, of preparing the people for the coming of the Lord. His work can be summed up in one word, the preparer. Isn't that right? It was his task to prepare a people for the coming Messiah. And both Isaiah and Malachi had announced that he would prepare the way for the coming of Jehovah. The angel Gabriel had informed Zacharias that his son would be instrumental in the turning many unto the Lord, going before his face, making ready a people prepared for him. Luke chapter 1. Zacharias himself prophesied that John would be called the prophet of the Most High, who would go before the face of the Lord to make ready his ways. He came in order to bear witness of the light. And the Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that cometh to me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He obeyed a divine commission. And you know, as I think of John the Baptist, and he being the one who God had sent, if we're saved this morning, God has sent all of us, hasn't he? God has sent all of us to obey that divine commission as we reach out to others with the gospel. What an opportunity this afternoon to go around the doors with a few calendars and a few invitations to invite people to come along to this church services next weekend. What an opportunity to reach out with the gospel to people who don't know Christ. What an opportunity to bring the message of salvation to a people who sadly are heedless and careless, having no thought of God or time for God. Can you come this afternoon and share the gospel in reaching out with others? Someone said that every heart with Christ, without Christ, is a mission field. But that every heart with Christ should be a missionary. John the Baptist obeyed a divine commission. I remember many years ago, way back in 1986, that's a long time ago, some of you weren't even born then, way back in 1986, sitting in Ballykeel Baptist Church at a Baptist youth rally, and the speaker was Eddie Totten, who was a Baptist missionary in France. Many of you will remember him. And as he shared that night, he challenged us as young people, from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, where Jesus said to the disciples, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest field." And I remember as he challenged us that night, he said, "Young person, maybe God wants you to go." And I remember sitting there saying, "Lord, I'm very shy." People don't believe that. "I'm very shy. Lord, I could never stand in front of people and speak. Folks say, I don't know when to sit down. But Lord, look at so-and-so, they could go. And look at so-and-so, they look at the abilities they have and the gifts they had. But God said, I want you to go." And folks, we're all to go to the world and bring the gospel. He obeyed a divine commission. Each one of us are called, not just to go, but to pray, to give, and maybe to go across the world to reach out. Our responsibility in reaching a world that's lost. Young people, are you free this afternoon to go and give out calendars? What a challenge to go into the world, to go into Lisburn, and to bring the message of Christ. Not only did he obey a divine commission, my time's away nearly. He described a specific task we see here too. What was John sent for? What did he come to do? Verse 23, he tells us there, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." John the Baptist was the one who was faithful in presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, but not only that, but preparing the way for him. "I am the one crying in the wilderness." The first verses we read there from verse 19 tell us how that the Jews sent priests and Levites to come down to listen to John the Baptist as he preached. And I believe as they came down to find out who he was and what he was, and of course they asked him, was he this prophet? Was he this person? Was he the Christ? And he said, the one who I'm preparing the way for, I'm not even worthy to get down and untie his shoelaces or tie his shoelaces. That's the importance of the one who's coming after me. But as they listened to him preaching, and you can imagine as they stood in line and listened, and as they saw him lift his hand when the Lord Jesus came that next day and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You can imagine the questions that they had in their mind. And I believe as we read over in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus would have been one of those rulers, one of those religious men who came and listened to John the Baptist as he spoke. And of course we know as we read John 3 that Nicodemus had many questions in his mind. And so he came to the Lord Jesus by night. And as he came, before he could ask his questions, Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, we know the account there of how Nicodemus says, but how can an old man like me be born again? It's physically impossible. I can't go a second time into my mother's womb. And Jesus explained to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Or what did it mean? That at physical birth, there's a mother and father. At spiritual birth, it's the word of God and the spirit of God showing us what we're really like. Folks don't like to be called sinners, do they? We think of sinners, of those who are committing immoral acts or some terrible acts around the world. But yet the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. And if you're not saved this morning, the Bible says that you're still in your sin. Because it reminds us there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. And you need to be saved today. You need to be born again today if you want to be in the family of God, and certainly if you want to be in that beautiful place called heaven for all of eternity. Nicodemus was confused, wasn't he? And yet the Lord Jesus explained to him about the one who would, about the serpent who would die on the pole. He knew the Old Testament scriptures of that. When the children of Israel were there in the wilderness and they were moaning and complaining and the serpents came in, the snakes came in and they bit them and they began to die, and then they put the serpent on the pole and all that would look by faith would be healed. And then he explained that just like the serpent on the pole, that he would be on the cross. That he would be the one who would hang between heaven and earth, the only mediator between God and man, the one who would die on the cross for the sin of the world. And that we need to come by faith and accept him as Savior. Repenting of our sin and knowing that sin's forgiven and peace with God and the joy of knowing that eternal home in heaven one day. Nicodemus would have been one of those religious men who came and listened. John the Baptist had come to be the voice in the wilderness. The channel that God could flow through in speaking out to others. And folks today, in our society, how we need to be a voice for God. How we need to be that voice that's faithful. That voice that takes our stand for God today. I was just thinking this morning and praying for Pastor McConnell, because he's going to be in court tomorrow, isn't he? And we need to pray for people like that who have taken their stand. As we take our stand with them in the things of God, that the Lord will undertake for him. We are called to be channels, called to be soul winners. You know, we can't all stand in the pulpit and preach. But you know, we can give a tract to someone. We can give an invitation for the Christmas service to someone. We can invite someone to come along, can't we? We can be the voice for Lisburn Baptist Church and for the Lord as we reach out to others with the gospel. Two of the ladies that come to Portugal with us on our teams, they're involved, or three of the ladies are involved in a ministry called Agora Ministries. And what they do is they get in the car, they go to the south of Ireland somewhere, and they go to a village and they reach every home in the village with the message of the gospel. They give out gift bags to everyone. They go to the ploughing mats in the south of Ireland. They go to other different events around Northern Ireland too. But they went to Rosnaula to the 12th of July celebrations a couple of years ago. And they give out tracts and they give out gift bags to many, many hundreds of people who were there. And one man in front of them took the tract up and he ripped it in pieces and he threw it over their heads and he laughed at them. He was full drunk. Could hardly stand up. They were back again, not this year past, but last year at Rosnaula. Again doing the same thing, giving out literature, talking to the folk about the Lord and so on. And the man came up and began to tell them his story. How the year before that he had ripped the tract up and threw it over the person who gave it to them. He went home that night, full drunk, got into bed, couldn't stand up. Got in with his clothes on. And the next morning he got out of bed and he took his clothes off. He must be Irish. Took his clothes off and out of his clothes fell a little piece of paper with one word on it. And the one word that he could read on it was eternity. And just like that, God gripped that man's heart. And the man fell on his knees and he trusted Christ as a savior. Folk, God is able to save to the uttermost, isn't he? But we need to do that little part as disciples of the Lord Jesus, as followers of him, as the voice that he wants us to be in the society we live in today. That little tract, that little word, that little conversation that God can use for his glory, for the salvation of souls. My father-in-law was able to tell you what preacher was good and bad. It was usually my meetings that there was bad in. But he was able to tell you. He could sing. He could talk about the Lord to everybody. Tell people that they needed to be saved. And he wasn't saved himself. And for years and years and years and years, he's done exactly the same thing. And then he would say, well, God doesn't really want me. That's what he used to hear as excuses from him. There was a lady who was so burdened for him as she prayed for him that one day she lifted the phone, a couple of years ago now, lifted the phone and she wanted to speak to him. He was in the attic doing some work and the phone was passed up to him in the attic. And as the lady began to speak to him, she didn't preach at him. She just said, Davy, I want to tell you something. I'm praying for you. And you know you need to be saved. And God has told me to ring you today and just tell you that I'm praying for you. You know what happened? He fell on his knees in the attic and he trusted in Christ. And folks, we have a new father-in-law and a new father because his life has dramatically changed. And folks, he's got a song in his heart and he's a burden for souls. It's amazing to see what God has done in his life. Just because a woman obeyed God and lifted the phone and was that voice for God and sharing the gospel. What does God want you to do today in reaching a world that's lost? John the Baptist was a voice crying out in the wilderness. He obeyed a divine commission. He described a specific task. We see also that John the Baptist introduced a wonderful person, didn't he? He pointed away from himself and he pointed to the only one who could save, the Lamb of God. Remember the message that came to the angels as we celebrate Christmas now? The message that came to the shepherds that the angels brought. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a host of angels singing praises to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. They introduced a wonderful person to the shepherds, didn't they? That died on the hillside outside Bethlehem. John the Baptist introduced the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people who stood around, the people of the world who stood around and they listened to him. The one who is the great I am, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting, the Savior of the world. He introduced a wonderful person. He proclaimed a glorious message, didn't he? My time is gone. He talked about the sin bearer. The one who would come to bear the sin of the world. The one who would go to the cross and bear your sin and my sin on his own body on the tree. The wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He introduced the Lamb of God. They knew about taking their lambs to the altar of sacrifice. They knew that they had to bring a perfect lamb. They would have known about Abraham and Isaac, the lamb put in his place. They had known the prophecies that one day a Savior would come into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to die on the cross for our sin. He introduced the wonderful sin bearer, the Lamb of God, the one who was a sinless, spotless, perfect Lamb. The one who would be taken as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. The one who would not open his mouth. The one who would be beaten and spat upon and mocked and of all manner of evil said against him. Yet it pleased God to bruise him. The one who would be raised up between heaven and earth as the only mediator. The one who could bring deliverance from sin. The one who could give the gift of new life. That's the message that he proclaimed. And folks, the message hasn't changed. Because it's still the same today as it was away back then. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's still the greatest story ever told. Are we faithful in proclaiming the glorious gospel, the glorious message to a world around us? Very quickly, as I said, my time is gone. John the Baptist obeyed a divine commission. He described a specific task. He introduced a wonderful person. He proclaimed a glorious message. And we see that John the Baptist secured a rich harvest, didn't he? Andrew and John, and Andrew found Peter. We read that in that last verse we read together. And John found James. And not only Andrew and John, not only Peter and James, but it still goes on today, doesn't it? Each one reaching one for Christ. Are we faithful in being soul winners? Are we faithful in preparing the way for the Lord, for his second coming? And telling a world around us that they need Jesus Christ as Savior? That he can change our lives because he's changed our lives too? Thank God for the example that John brings to us. The example that he is, the challenge that it is to our hearts. And may God help us to be faithful in reaching a lost world for Christ. And if you're not saved this morning, that God will touch your heart and help you to see the privileges that he's given to you again. And the opportunity that he's given to you again of getting right with him. And that today you might accept the greatest gift that there ever was and ever will be. The gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ.